Hey, did you come to church to learn the Word of God? Okay, I hope you did. I want you to get your Bibles if you have them. And of course, I'm going to have some of the scriptures, not all of them, on the PowerPoint. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2 again. And as I said last Sunday, we've been starting this series, and I think we've been at 4 or 5 Sundays now. And we're going through the book of Acts, and I cannot get out of Acts 1 and 2. My gosh, there's so much there. But we're going to go through the whole book of Acts over the summer months and probably into the fall. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And this is the book of Acts, the resurrection power unleashed. And it was actually what happened in the book of Acts is the New Testament church was birthed. And it's still, the church age is still going on today. But the reason why I wanted to do this teaching and an in-depth teaching on the book of Acts and on the Holy Spirit is because there's so much controversy about it. There's so much ignorance about it. A lot of people are confused about it. Even here in the Bible Belt in Western Oklahoma, people have been, I know, and I'm just going to share my story. I was raised Southern Baptist, not Northern Baptist, Southern Baptist. That's a joke, by the way, okay? I always have to throw that in there. I love what Janice Boatman told me. She said, the difference between Northern Baptist and Southern Baptist is Southern Baptists have sweet tea. I like that. So that's how I was raised. And I thank God, I'm not knocking the Baptist, that denomination. I thank God for the Baptists because that's where I learned about salvation, which is the greatest thing that can happen to anybody. Also, the first time I ever got to preach was in a Methodist church here in Leedy. And then God had a sense of humor and had me marry a girl that was raised in a Pentecostal church, an Assembly of God church. So I kind of have it all. But whenever, just being raised here in Leedy and going to church, I think we went to church for like the first 12 years of my life or whatever, and then I got away from the Lord. But, you know, I never really got into the Word myself. I just listened to what the preacher said on Sunday morning. I didn't understand a lot of things, and I heard things about the Holy Spirit. I heard, you know, if you talk in tongues, that's of the devil, right? And so that's exactly what I thought. I thought, my gosh, if you talk in tongues, then you're of the devil. I had no idea what the book of Acts teaches. I didn't know what the Word taught about it. I just believed that because the preacher said it. And so I grew up with this thought, all right? And some of you may be like me. I grew up thinking this. Baptist, if you were a Baptist, because mainly the three churches that we had here in Leedy when I was growing up was Baptist, Methodist, and Assembly of God. And so here's what I thought. If you were Baptist or Methodist, then you were normal Christians. Okay? And then if you was Pentecostal, you were plum crazy Christian. And you need to stay away from those folks, right? And I'm just telling the truth. That's how I was, and a lot of people have been raised like that. And so I love a friend of mine who she's in the, I actually graduated with her, Amy Downey, and she's a missionary to the Jewish people, but she is Baptist to the core, okay? And here's what I want to say to this. Don't worship a denomination, all right? Worship God, amen? Don't worship a non-denominational church. Worship God. And it's amazing to me how some people say, what faith of you? Well, I'm Baptist, or I'm Methodist, or I'm non-denominational. No, here's how you need to answer people when they ask you that. I'm a Christian. That just blows them away when you say that because they don't know what to do with that. But I love what Amy told me one time. She came to our church, and she goes, Mark, she was trying to figure us out right here. And she goes, I just can't figure you all out. And I said, what do you mean, Amy? And she goes, well, you're kind of, you're Baptist-costal. And I said, there's no such word as Baptist-costal, not even the scripture. And it's so funny because there was one time, I probably shouldn't say this, but one time I was Facebook creeping on somebody. They're not here today, okay? And it's, how many of you Facebook creep, okay? We're in church, don't lie, okay? I wanted to get to know this person. So I was like, I can get on there and I can find out, you know, you can go to hit info and you can find out where they live, what jobs they have, if they put all that information down. And I was scrolling down through there because I was wanting to see their religious views, if they actually put that. And so their religious views, they put Baptist, okay? That was their religious views. But here's how they spelled Baptist. B-A-B-T-I-S-T. Not a P with a B. B as in boy. And I was like, okay, they must go to church just on Easter and Christmas. Okay, if you're, is everybody with me this morning? I'm trying to lighten you up a little bit, because that's how I was raised, and that's how I thought, and until I actually got into the Word myself. And so the question I'm going to ask us all today is this one, is, like I told you last week, I was wanting to put this in with my message last week, and I felt like, no, I need to split this up, because that was just going to be way too much information. And so I'm going to ask this question again: have you received Pentecost? Okay. And I'm just going to be honest with you, whenever you hear the word Pentecost, the first thing that comes to my mind, Pentecostal, crazy Christians, okay? Because that's how I was raised. And so here's what we're going to learn about Pentecost. Okay, the first five books of the Bible are called the Pentateuch, which means, pent means five, right? Okay, there's the Pentagon, okay? What that means is it's a five-sided building. Five, right? All right, Pentecost. Everybody ready for this? I'm going to take all the fear, all the weirdness, all the goofiness out of this word. Pentecost means 5 to the 10th power. So it means 50 or 50th. That's all it means. Look at somebody say 50. All right. So therefore, I am Pentecostal. Because I'm 52. All right? And I'm also filled with the Holy Spirit, so I am Pentecostal. All right? God is Pentecostal. God's Baptist, God's Pentecostal. Because God believes in baptizing, and he believes in the Spirit baptism. And so we're going to look at this in the Word of God in Acts chapter 2. I just want to give you this book, because you can order this book online on Amazon. You can go to Gateway Church and order this book. This was a book written by a pastor that I listened to a lot, Pastor Robert Morris, The God I Never Knew, and it was about the Holy Spirit. The reason why I like this book is because Pastor Robert was actually, he was actually a Southern Baptist pastor before he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so he really does a really good job of laying this all out in The God I Never Knew, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And I just encourage you to get that book if you like to read, and read it in conjunction as you're reading the book of Acts, and it'll really help you to understand the Holy Spirit better, because he is the third person of the Godhead. He's the only part of the Godhead that's here on the planet with us, and he's here to help us, comfort us, help, you know, teach us, guide us, and direct us in our lives. So we're going to start in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then we're going to go back through this. Again, I'm going to break it down, but in Acts 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost, everybody say Pentecost, what does that mean? 50, okay, it doesn't mean crazy Christians, right? Means 50, okay, had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues. There's that word again, and I'm going to teach on this next Sunday, okay, more in depth on the word tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven, because it was the day of Pentecost, that's why they were there. Verse 6 says, and when this sound occurred, the multitudes came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? So that's Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. Now, I'm going to break this down and into three different questions this morning. And here's the first question, if you're taking notes. The first question is, what is Pentecost? All right, we already determined that's 50, means 50. But I want to show you in the scripture where this comes from. In Leviticus chapter 23, yeah, that's the book that we all skip when our Bible reading plans, all right, in Leviticus. But Leviticus chapter 23 talks about the feasts of Israel. And so what is Pentecost? It was actually the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost. And here's where it came from, verses 15 through 16. It says, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Okay? Everybody see that? Those 7 weeks. count 50 days, that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. All right. Now, in the Old Testament, at 50 days after Passover in the book of Exodus, they were at Mount Sinai, and that's when the giving, the day of Pentecost, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Remember the movie, Charlton Heston, right? Okay. And so I don't have time to really go into this deeply, but as I was preparing this, I was like, man, this would be a really good series going into the seven Jewish feasts and showing you how it all points to Jesus. But here's the seven Jewish feasts. Number one was the Feast of Passover, okay? Number two was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number three was the Feast of First Fruits. Four is what we're talking about today, the fourth one, was the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. Number five is the Feast of Trumpets. And number six, the Day of Atonement. And then the last one is the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths. So those are the seven feasts, the seven Jewish feasts that the children of Israel celebrated in the Old Testament, all right? And every one of them point to Jesus. Each and every one of the seven Jewish feasts signifies an important aspect of God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ, through our Lord. All right, now the first four, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, are all in the spring. They happen in the spring. And then the last three happen in the fall, all right? So the first four happen like March, April, June-ish in that time span. The Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles or Booths happens in September to October in those 2 months. Now, I just want to say this, that everybody know what the Feast of Passover is from the book of Exodus? You know, anoint your doorposts and the spirit of death will pass over, you know, and it's all pointing to Jesus dying for us on the cross. And then everybody knows what the Feast of Trumpets is, right? You know, the last trumpet, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up with them in the air. All right, just a little tidbit for you, a little side note here, all right? We don't know the day or the hour when Jesus is coming back, but the first four, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost have all happened. So where we're at right now is between 4 and 5. And between 4 and 5 is the New Testament church. The Feast of Pentecost is also called Harvest. It's harvest time, Harvest Fellowship Church. Okay, we're reaping the harvest. We're in the church age right now. Okay? So then what's going to happen next is the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the first four happened on those days. Jesus was crucified, Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. That happened 50 days after the resurrection. Jesus was here for 40. He left, and then he told his disciples to go wait in Jerusalem. The Bible says they waited 10 days. 40 plus 10 is what? 50. 50 means Pentecost, right? Okay. And so what I'm trying to get at is this. The first four have already happened, and they happened to the day and to the hour, okay? The Feast of Trumpets is what's next. Now, the Bible tells us we don't know the day or hour, but I'm pretty confident that I can almost say, thus saith the Lord, that when we hear the trumpet, it's going to be sometime in September or October. My birthday is September the 17th. I'm not setting a date, but that'd be a great day to go to heaven. It's on my birthday. Jada's is October the 2nd, so I just want to beat her, okay? No, just kidding. We're going to go together. So just wanted to break that. Does everybody see that? Isn't that awesome how God's word is, it's there for us if we'll just dig into it. Now, we can't know the day or the hour. That's the Father's business. But he doesn't want us to be ignorant of when he's coming. It could happen this September and this, it really could, all right? And it could happen if it Mark, what if it happens tomorrow? I'm okay with it. I'm okay if he speeds up. You know, let's go. That's what I'm ready to go. But I do know that there's work to be done. And we're still in harvest time and we're still in the church age and we got a lot of work to do as the New Testament church getting the bride ready for his return. So the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, occurred 50 days after the First Fruits Festival and celebrated the end of the grain harvest. And the Greek word Pentecost means 50th. We've been talking about that. It normally occurs in late spring, either the last part of May or the beginning of June. Here we are, last of May, the beginning of June. You know, I love how God orchestrates things. I didn't plan this, by the way. That's the Holy Spirit. I just thought it was pretty cool. The primary focus of the festival was gratitude to God for the harvest. And the feast reminds us of the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to send another helper, which is in John 14:16, when he was talking about sending the Holy Spirit to help us, who would indwell believers and empower them for ministry. That's what Pentecost is all about. The coming of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Jesus' resurrection was the guarantee that the promise of salvation and the future resurrection will come to pass. And God is good. Amen. All the time. Now, back in the 90s, I don't know if it's still, and there may be some roots of it going around, but there was this really big deal in the 90s of where people were starting to understand these Jewish feasts, and so they were thinking that we just, you know, we got to become Jewish and celebrate the feasts and do all those things. And I just want to throw this out there real quick so that you understand. The Apostle Paul told us in Colossians 2, verse 16, Jesus fulfilled all that. Okay? And so the Apostle Paul says, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. All right? So he's basically saying you don't have to go. You just got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But all of those seven feasts, you need to understand them from Scripture because they all point to Jesus. And he was the fulfillment of all those feasts. That's what they were all looking forward to. That's what they were all celebrating, and they didn't even know it. Okay, Acts 2, verses 1 through 2 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. All right, this leads me into my next question. So what happened at Pentecost? What happened? We saw what all this means in the Old Testament. Let's look into the New Testament, what happened at Pentecost. This is what happened at Pentecost. Acts 2, verses 5 through 8 says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Okay, the reason why they were there was celebrating Passover and all these feasts and the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks. Because the Bible talks about it, the Jewish people, they would send the head of the household, the male, to go, you know, take care of the sacrifices and do all these things for these feasts. And they had to go, they were supposed to go to Jerusalem. So that's why Jerusalem was just filled with people from all over at this point. You know, God, he knows what he's doing, right? All right, so they're all there. And in verse 6 it says, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. All right? Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? It's like, they're not from our country. They don't know our language, yet they're speaking our language. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Isn't that awesome? I read a story one time of a lady who was in church, and she was worshiping God, and during the worship service, she just began to worship God in tongues. Tongues, and we're going to learn this here, and just I'm going to fast forward a little bit. Tongues just means language. Yes. Okay? So there, take the, you know, love, people get hung up on the word tongues. It just means language. So lady was just worshiping God in a service. She had no idea what she was speaking. She just began to worship God in other tongues, all right? She had no idea that right behind her was somebody sitting from the country that she was speaking the language in. She even called her by name as she was speaking and telling her how much God loved her. She had no idea what she was telling her. She was just worshiping God. And God, through her, was telling her behind her how much he loved her. And she got saved that day. I read that. Isn't that powerful? God is so good, and God knows what he's doing. All right, so I'm just trying to take all the goofiness, the weirdness that you've ever heard out of this, and we're going to talk more about tongues and language next Sunday. But before we get to that, I want to read Acts 2, and I didn't put these up on the board or on the PowerPoint, in verse 12, starting in verse 12, and I'm going to read down to verse 21. I encourage you to go home and read this whole chapter, but it says, "So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' And others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.'" These people are drunk. All right, verse 14 says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day.'" Okay, we hadn't been to the bar yet. That's what he's saying. Verse 16 says, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. 'And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my maidservants and on my men servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." It's fulfillment of Joel is what's happening on the day of Pentecost. Here's another thing that happened on the day of Pentecost that some people have never been taught. But this is in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is where the Tower of Babel happened, all right? The Tower of Babel is where the Bible says that they were all of one language and one speech. God came down and confused their language and scattered people to the nations, all right? That's where languages actually came from. I love hearing other people speak in their different accents, different languages. It's always fascinated me. And Jade and I just went on a trip with her family, and we heard people in Greece and Croatia speaking different languages, and I was just sitting around going, I wonder what they're saying. Lord, let me, you know. But I couldn't understand what they were saying because of what happened at the Tower of Babel back in Genesis chapter 11. But in this situation, listen to this. In the Tower of Babel, they were gathered in rebellion, and in Acts chapter 2, they were gathered in submission. In Genesis chapter 11, they were gathered in pride. In Acts chapter 2, they were gathered in humility. All had one language in Genesis chapter 11, and God confused their language and scattered them abroad. In the Acts chapter 2, they were in unity and spoke many languages, glorifying God. And what that sounds like is heaven on earth. Because every dialect, every tribe, every tongue, every nation's going to bow and say he's God. Amen. That's what heaven's going to be like. It's not going to be this camp over here is Baptist. This camp over here is Church of Christ. This camp over here, we're all going to be Christians in heaven, worshiping God. So Pentecost is the blessed reversal of the cursed judgment at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11. That's what happened in Acts chapter 2, all right? But we need the Holy Spirit, and we've already taught about this, so that the character of Christ can be formed in us, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can go out into the harvest and do his work. And so that's why we need this Pentecost. In the New Testament, new Christians were celebrating Pentecost, and while they were praying, God poured out the Holy Spirit on them, and tongues of fire rested on each of them, and they spoke in new tongues. In the first Pentecost of the Old Testament, there was a loud noise. This is all in the book of Exodus. There was a loud noise. A cloud descended. There was fire. The law was written on stone, and 3,000 people died. If you'll continue reading Acts chapter 2, in the New Testament Pentecost, there was a loud noise. A cloud, which was the Holy Spirit, descended. There was fire. The law was written on people's hearts, and 3,000 people were saved. That's all in Acts chapter 2. Is everybody learning something today? That's good stuff, all right? That's what happened at Pentecost, and that's what Pentecost means. All right, so we started this off, have you received Pentecost? So I want to ask this question. Can I receive Pentecost? I'm hoping you're getting ahead of me now. But in Acts 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, "Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." All right? And you have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith just like you receive salvation. All right? So I might be able to see Taya over here with her tongue of fire on her head when she gets baptized in the Holy Spirit, but she can't. But I can't see my own. See, if your tongue of fire's up here, you go like this. You can't. You can't see it. You can't see your own fire up there. But it's you have to receive it by faith, is what that's telling us. You have to receive it. And we're going to talk about this tongues deal because tongues. The Greek word for tongues, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the Greek word for tongues is glossa, where we get our word glossary, okay? And all it means is language. That's all it means is language, all right? You have a private prayer language that builds you up and edifies you, and then you may be in a situation, there's tongues and interpretation of tongues, and I don't want to get into all this because I'm going to talk about all this next week. And then there also may be a situation where I've read of this in situations where people in other countries and they need to minister to somebody and they don't know the language and God just drops it on them. That's the gift of tongues right there, the gift of language. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5 says, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them," we're going to jump back to Acts 1, it says, "being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father." Everybody say, "the promise of the Father." "Which," he said, "you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Okay? Now we're going to jump to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 through 39, it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent,'" we talked about this last week, "'and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.'" That's water baptism. Repent and believe is salvation. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Now, I'm going to jump up. I put down Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. I'm going to jump up to verse 29, and I'm going to read down to verse 38. And it says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely." This is Peter when he's preaching this when 3,000 people get saved. He said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day." Because the people of Israel, they just really worshiped David. He was their king, right, in the Old Testament. Verse 30 says, "Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, from which we were all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he said himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was like, what should we do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how 3,000 people came in the kingdom that day. I want to say this because I know this is Memorial Day weekend, all right? And Jade and I, we went and decorated our son's grave. It gives us something to do. It's a point of contact. It's an act of faith. And every time we go and do that, we stand over that, his little headstone, and we pray. And we thank God for our salvation. And we thank God he's not there. His body was laid to rest there, but his spirit and soul is in heaven, waiting on mommy and daddy. And we pray, and we say, "Lord, we want to fulfill our calling and whatever our destiny, but we're ready for that family reunion one day. But we know there's work to be done on this earth, and we're going to get her done, and then we're going to go home." And so I know a lot of you are going to decorate graves, and it's good for you to do that. Every time we go, Jade and I, there's special times of year, his birthday, Memorial Day. Of course, his birthday is right around Memorial Day, so we kind of do that in conjunction. Christmas, just special occasions that we go out there, and it's an act of faith. But every time we do it, it brings healing. And it reminds us of our salvation. It reminds us that we're just passing through here. and heaven is our home. Amen. And I'm not attached to nothing here. Some people are attached to things. Get over it. I mean, we can't take this junk with us, and it doesn't make a hill of beans, and quit fighting over it. And this is a great time for families to heal and come together on Memorial Day, because all this stuff doesn't make a hill of beans. It's your relationships. Your relationships are what you're going to take with you to heaven. None of the stuff. No land, no cattle, no houses, no cars, all this stuff. And so I want to just, God is so good, guys. And this is not all that there is, but He gave us the Holy Spirit, because I know there's a lot of you in here that have, I could have every one of you stand up and talk about loved ones that are not here with you today. But the deal is, guys, there's going to be a family reunion. And I'm because of what Jesus did at the cross. But He poured out His Spirit so that we, the church, would take that and go evangelize the world. Now, you may not have a pulpit ministry like I do, but every one of you have a circle of influence, beginning with your family. That's where it starts. I'm sitting up here, and this is my whole family on the front row this morning. And while we was worshiping, and I saw my Aunt Paulita worshiping God, I saw my dad worshiping God, I saw them all worshiping God. And I was just thanking God that my family is saved. But I'm sitting here looking at this, because I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time, I was like, I don't know if my dad's, I was like, God, I believe, but help my unbelief, you know. And He's here today. He's on the, he's on the front row today. And, but I was sitting up here when we was worshiping, and I was just thanking God. There's been lots of prayers prayed that I don't even know of. I think about Jada's mom that's in heaven today. She prayed for me, Clark, Jenna, you know, she's praying for all this. And we're going to get to see her again. You know, but I was thinking about my Grandma Lita. I went and saw my Grandma Lita here right after Mother's Day. And my Grandma Lita was one that really prayed our whole family into the kingdom. There was a time where she was the only one. And we would go, to have dinners, you know, Thanksgiving dinners and stuff at her house. And she made sure we all gathered up and she prayed. But not only did she pray, she preached while she prayed. And I remember those times, and I remember going, oh, God, Grandma, you know, hurry up, you know, for the love of God, hurry up. You know, I'm ready to eat your chicken noodles, you know, that's what I'm ready to do. I'm serious, that's how I started out. Oh, God, come on, Grandma, you know. And because, I mean, it was a 30-minute prayer a lot of times, because she had to talk and then pray and then talk some more. But guys, it stuck. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. And at that time, I was nowhere near a pulpit. Ministry or being a pastor was not on my radar screen. But the power of a praying grandma, I'm telling you, is powerful. And I've seen our whole family, grandkids, great-grandkids, that song that we sang, that Taya sang about the blessing, I saw it's going down into generations, and it's awesome. I'm going to close with this. There's this argument, and the reason why I started off, have you received Pentecost, is because there's an argument that says this: we weren't alive back then, so it's not for us. Talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's ridiculous. Theologians say this, and I'm gonna call some theologians dumb from the pulpit, because I'm going to ask you this. Can you receive Passover? Jesus was the Passover. Yeah, we can receive Passover. Can you receive tabernacles? Well, there's three feasts in Passover, by the way, and there's three feasts in the tabernacles, and then the Pentecost is right in the middle. And you might be saying, well, we're still here, Mark. We haven't received tabernacles yet. We're still here. Well, here's the deal. If we die first, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Okay? The Feast of Tabernacles is when we tabernacle with God forever, all right, in heaven. So we can, what I'm trying to get at is we can receive Passover, and in your mind, you can already receive tabernacles by faith, even though it hasn't even happened yet. But we get hung up on, can you receive Pentecost? Because, and here's the argument, we weren't alive back then, so it's not for us. No, it's for us. The Bible says what I just read in Acts chapter 2, verses 39. The Apostle Peter said, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. That's what the promise of the Father, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's for everybody. I love this, and I'm going to end with this little illustration. Some of you may know this man of God. He's like 82 now, but he's retired from being a pastor. But his name is Dr. Peter Lord, and he was actually he pastored for 30 years at Park Avenue Baptist Church in Titusville, Florida. All right, great man of God, great pastor. But he was in the middle of doing a series on the Holy Spirit. And he was studying the Word of God, just like I've taught you today. And he got to the part in this Acts, and he was seeing the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he started to see that it wasn't just for them back then. It wasn't just for the original 12. 120 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but it's for us today. And how it happened was, and I love how God is so good, but he was studying, he said, in his study for that Sunday's sermon. And he was studying about the Holy Spirit out of the book of Acts. And he was starting to see some things that he had never seen before in Scripture. The Holy Spirit was illuminating some things to him. And the Holy Spirit, the Lord asked him this, said, have you fully, fully received the Holy Spirit? And Dr. Peter Lord told the Lord, I said, yeah, I have received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. He said, yeah, but have you fully received the Holy Spirit? He's like, Lord, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he said, in his house at that particular time, his mother-in-law was in. She was staying with him. She'd been there for 2 months because there were some things happening in their family, and she needed to stay with them. And he said, your mother-in-law lives in your house, right? He said, yeah, she'd been here for 2 months. And the Holy Spirit said, have you fully received her? And he's like, OMG. No, I haven't. And he said, the Holy Spirit can dwell in you and you not fully receive him. And that was the day that he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like there's a lot of Christians like that. They're saved. They got the Holy Spirit living in the house, but you just haven't fully received him. And he wants to fully receive you so that he can baptize you, so that he can put that fruit in you and illuminate the Word of God to you, put gifts in you so that you can go out into the harvest and be salt and light for him. Amen? Because a lot of you are trying to live this Christian life in and of yourself. It's a whole lot better when you live it with the Holy Spirit helping you. Yeah. Not to mean that you're still not going to mess up and do things and, you know, all that, because we still battle with our flesh. All right, but the Holy Spirit really helps you crucify the flesh every day. So I'm not the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is. And so what I'm trying to do is whet your appetite to hear it, see it in the Word of God for yourself. And instead of just me saying, you need the baptism, you need the baptism, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm hoping you're seeing it in the Word of God. You're going, I do need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And what I want you to start doing is asking him for it. Because he doesn't withhold any good things from his kids. So start asking today. Asking by, how you say, well, how I ask? Ask by faith, just like you asked Jesus to come into your heart. Yes. Amen? Amen? All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And the first thing I want to do, and those here that under the sound of my voice, and others that are watching online, and this is also going to be on the radio, I want to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is what we just talked about, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus already fulfilled this at the cross, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But you have to receive that by faith. And so I want to lead you in this prayer. The Apostle Paul said this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with us. Okay? Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Now, Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. God is good and all the time. Did everybody learn something today? Okay. I pray that this series has been helping you understand who the Holy Spirit is, taking the mystery out of it and some of the stuff that you've been taught, and helping the ignorance and things, because we just haven't been taught. And so that's my whole purpose in my heart in teaching this. But I want to speak a blessing over you. So I want everyone to stand up, and if you're there with your family, and if you need any special prayer for anything, I am here. We can do that after service, but I'm going to go ahead and dismiss by speaking this blessing over you today, okay? So join hands with your family there. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they're the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now hug somebody's neck and say, I am Pentecostal.